thank you for coming tonight. It's good to see all of you here. And we appreciate very, very much your participation in the song service tonight. It's been really, really good. And I hope that all of us are bound for the promised land. You know, the promised land is heaven. And what a wonderful place it's going to be for those of us who love God and serve Him faithfully here in this life. And to those of us who are willing to submit our lives unto Him. You know, sometimes in life we get content with where we are and who we are. I heard about a little boy one time who was overheard praying. He said, Lord, he said, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a good time just like I am. Well, you know, there are a lot of people like that in life that would not admit it, but truthfully, that is the way they feel. You know, one of the great blessings of God has to be the mercy of God. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You remember it was David in the book of Psalms 23 who was delighted by the fact that God was a God who provided goodness in life, but one who also provided mercy. For he said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You and I ought to be grateful every day for the mercy of God. You know, mercy is actually the very thing that God gives us when we do not deserve it. It's closely akin to the word grace. There is a difference, however. Grace says that God's going to give us something we don't deserve. Mercy says, I'm not going to give you what you do deserve. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of Lamentation, and that is in the Old Testament, by the way. The book of Lamentations, and it was written by Jeremiah of old, and if you didn't bring your Bible, that's all right. I'll read it for you. In the third chapter, beginning in verse 21, the prophet said, this I recall to my mind, therefore, he says, have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are, it is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. There's a song that we sing that really echoes that same sentiment of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you remember that Jeremiah was one of the major prophets, and Jeremiah was one who was often foretelling of the wrath of God that would fall upon the children of Israel because of their disobedience unto God. And the book of Lamentations actually is a book of Jeremiah's mourning. If you were to go to the book of Lamentations, and by the way, that's not a book that we like to read a whole lot, especially if you're depressed or you're down and out about something, you probably would want to read something a little bit different than the book of Lamentation. But in that book, in this third chapter, in verse 21 through 24, some powerful words, if you really think about it, it gives us great assurance of God's love and his mercy. The book of Lamentation was a book about the prophet mourning over the coming destruction of Jerusalem. It is a book about unimaginable pain and suffering that would befall the people of God. Nevertheless, even in spite of all of this, Jeremiah takes courage and consoles himself and the people of God by reflecting on the character of God. Now, you know, sometimes people see God in different ways or in different lights. A lot of times when we look at God, we see God sometimes as some tyrannical father, maybe even an abusive father. But God isn't abusive in any way. He is not the author of wrath. He's not the author of illness or disease or heartache. But you know what? God gets blamed with a lot of things in life, doesn't he? Sometimes even bad things can happen and people say, well, it was the will of God. May not have been the will of God at all. Sometimes even people talk about tornadoes and they talk about hurricanes. And by the way, they had another earthquake over in Japan last night. Did many of you see that? And there were tsunami warnings out. And a lot of people refer to that as an act of God. That is, God deliberately brought that about. And even insurance companies refer to certain acts as acts of God. Not anything they can do about it. Lightning, winds, many, many things. But God is a good God, and through all of this, Jeremiah is trying to console the people by the character of God. He gained hope in the Lord because of God's mercy. And he said it was because of God's mercy that we were not consumed. Jeremiah could put his hope and his trust in God. And one of the great aspects of God's mercy is the fact that Jeremiah mentions this one thing, and it really is significant to understanding the lesson tonight. He says that the mercies of God are new every morning. Do you know that in the morning you will awaken, if it's in the Lord's will, and if it isn't an act of God that you draw your last breath tonight? But in the morning, more than likely, all of you, or the majority of you, will awaken to a new day. Now, David said, we ought to view life in this way. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. There are some things about the new day tomorrow that I want you to focus on, and I hope you'll do this in the morning when you get up. Morning is such a wonderful time of day. It really is. How many of y'all like to get up early in the morning, like me? I love to get up early in the morning. There's only one person that beats me here at the building in the morning, that's Shelly Franklin. She's here at 5 o'clock in the morning. But I'm going to tell you something. Mornings are wonderful times. Now Audrey didn't like morning. I'll have to confess to you that. She's not here tonight, and if I'd like to tell her that I told you about this and have you not tell her. But anyway, what she does in the morning is that when I finally go in and kiss her into awareness, she finally will throw one leg out. And if it survives, she will throw the other leg out. And she will get up. Now, I'm not like that. I like to bounce up and I'm ready to meet the day. I really am. That's just the way I am. I've always been that way, and I like morning time. But you know, one thing I recognize about that morning time is the presence of God. It's a quiet time for me. It really, really is. And Jeremiah said that the wonderful mercies of God are new every morning. And I want to share with you some things tonight, at least four things, why his mercies are new and why we ought to feel good about his mercies. First of all, because of the presence of God. In the book of Ephesians 4 and verse 6, the Bible says that there is one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. The presence of God. Isaiah speaks concerning God's eternal presence when he said, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth their strength. So every morning, God increases our strength. He is the one that enables us to get up from a night's rest and enjoy the beauty of the new day. In Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, even in the Old Testament, in that book of law, Moses would record these words about God. And he says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth a covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments, even to 1,000 generations. Well, Moses may have been exaggerating a little bit there, but I know one thing, that God is going to love us how many ever generations there may be. And that really is what he was saying. In Psalms 105, David said, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for all generations. And because of this, every morning when we awake, his mercies are new. Ever stop to reflect upon this fact, that every morning you need the mercy of God? You know why? Because we all sin in a day's time. We do. We sin with our lives. And if mercy means that God isn't going to give us what we deserve, I'm going to tell you something. I want the mercy of God every morning in my life. I want it at night. I want it to be over me all day long. Because of the presence of God, we can feel comforted by his mercies. And then secondly, because of God's continued blessings. You ever thought about how blessed you are, that you're able to get up and move about and be here tonight? And we ask you to do that, and I appreciate very much those of you that came back tonight. But have you ever thought about how blessed you are? You're not hungry tonight. You don't worry about where your next meal's coming from. You really don't. You are blessed. You have clothing, you have a house, you have an automobile, or you have a means of travel, you have a means to get around. Think about all the physical blessings of God that we often take for granted. We sing that song, "Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One." Just think about how blessed you are tonight. You are a blessed individual. You are. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, Moses again in the early dawn of creation, he writes about it and said, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Aren't you glad for the change of season? I am. We talk about the heat right now. I'm going to tell you, it's hot, folks. Matter of fact, it's hot as blazes. It's hot. But you know what? As I mentioned this morning, it won't be long before the season will change. And in the dead of winter, you will be wishing for this moment. You will. Boy, I can't wait for this winter to be over. Aren't we like that? We're never satisfied. Matthew 5 and 45, Jesus says, "For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the just," or the good, "and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." I've heard people even say, you know what? Because it isn't raining, God is bringing his judgment against our state. I've heard people rationalize that way. God may be trying to tell us something because he's not letting it rain. Well, think about this a moment. If he rains on the just and the unjust, can I bring that indictment against God and blame God because we don't have any rain? I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm not going to be that presumptuous. I know some people that are. In Acts the 14th chapter and verse 17, the word says, "Nevertheless, he left," that is Christ, "left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts and food with gladness." Think about all the great blessings of God. Think about the spiritual blessings that we have of God. Galatians 3:14 says of Christ that he redeemed us that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that is not just Jews, but on the Gentiles as well, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Acts 3 and verse 26, "Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities." And then in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, if you don't think about the blessings of God on any of these, think about this one. He said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us," he says, "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So we have, first of all, the presence of God in his mercies, and then we have his blessings, both physical and spiritual. I want you to notice something else because of the mercy of God. Thirdly, old things are passed away. Wouldn't it be great to wake up somewhere? I've thought about this a lot. Wouldn't it be great to wake up in the morning and have all of our past mistakes erased? I've heard people say, well, you know, you just can't gather up spilled milk and yeah, you just can't relive life. That's true, but you know what? To those of us who are Christians, the Bible says that when we pray to God and we ask God to forgive us, that we can wake up in the morning and all of those mistakes have passed away. This is the essence of what God is saying to those who choose him. For 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 echoes this thought, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things have become new." Now, I think there's a spiritual application to that, obviously, that when we're baptized into Christ, that the old man is put away and that there is the emergence of a new man in Christ. But on the other hand, there is also, I think, a physical or material application here, and that is the fact that every day, if what Jeremiah said is true, and I believe it to be true, that the mercies of God are new every morning. That's what he said. Sometimes we have a tendency to forget that. In Romans 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So in the morning when you get up, I want you to walk in newness of life. You ask God to bless you tonight. You ask for his forgiveness. Lay it aside, your sin aside. Go to sleep and get up in the morning with a vigor that is second to none. And to realize that God has blessed you, he has forgiven you of your sin. Some people say, well, if that's the case, what about the consequences of our wrongdoing? Well, while we may have to live with the consequences of some of our past choices that we make, we don't have to live with the guilt any longer. And that's the difference, folks. All of us tonight could feel guilty about something. I don't care who we are. You know, guilt is not bad. I know a lot of people say, well, you just shouldn't feel guilty. But I'm going to tell you something. There's good guilt and there's bad guilt. You know, if we never ever experienced guilt over what we have done in life, we would never change. You wouldn't. If you never felt guilty about anything that you ever did that was outside the will of God, you would never change the structure of your life. Your character would never change. But it is because you feel that guilt. And you know what guilt is? Guilt is that it's kind of like a little bell that goes off in your conscience. When you do wrong, it just kind of rings. And it awakens you to what you've done. Guilt. But then when we've asked God to forgive us of our sin, and we turn to him for his mercy, that we might not receive the impending doom that is due us because of our sin, then we don't have to feel guilt. Guilt's over. I'm thankful tonight that I don't have to go around under the umbrella of guilt, but I can walk uprightly under the umbrella of God's mercy, one who forgives. And the Bible says of the forgiveness of God that when we, you know what he does with our sin? I know what we do with it, and it's kind of hard for us to accept the fact that God really forgives it in this way. But the Bible says that he forgives us as far as the east is from the west. Now, you've heard me use this expression before, but it's true, isn't it? When does the east start and the west start? When do you get into West Texas? Anybody know? People talk about, we talk about East Texas. Where is the line of demarcation? Anybody know? Where does East Texas start? Fort Worth? I'll be sure and let God know that tonight. Now, the line of demarcation, I know they say that. But where is Central Texas? And where is South Texas? And North Texas? Where are all these geographical areas where we line it all up? Well, believe it or not, there's no way we can really do that. We do that in our mind. Now, and there is no line that even divides the states. We, you know, you go to this map of the United States and you'll see all these lines. But I can tell you, I have crossed over into Louisiana many times and from Louisiana back to the state of Texas, and I have never seen a little line. I know you go by these signs up there. It says, you know, welcome to Texas, welcome to Louisiana. But there is no line out there actually that says, hey, this is the place. Now, God says the same thing. He says this with regard to your sin. He said, I will forgive it as far as the east is. Well, east is over here, isn't it? Yeah. On my side it is. Now, from the east, I always tell everybody we have four congregations here. The east side, you know, the group here, and then the west side Church of Christ. But anyway, but God says that he forgives our sin. He throws them into the vault of his grace. And then he takes them and shreds them. And he never brings it up anymore. For Jeremiah chapter 31, he says, their sin and their iniquity will I remember against them no more. And that's why we don't have to continue to feel guilt. Now, a lot of people want us to feel guilt. And a lot of people, as we often say, try to put us on a guilt trip. And that is, they try to make you feel guilty when you should not feel guilty. Shouldn't. If we are in Christ, old things are passed away. Paul in Philippians chapter 3 says this in verse 13, "Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind." And I'm going to tell you something. If anybody had a right to feel guilt, it was the Apostle Paul. He was killing Christians and binding them and taking them to prison. And yet God reached out to this man. It looked as though, why in the world would God choose Paul of all people to proclaim the gospel of Christ? He says, "Forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth unto the things that are before, I press forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus my Lord." Colossians 3:10 says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Then there's one last thought, and I'll do this quickly. And that is, God's promises are sure. They are. The blessings of God, the presence of God, think about it, the continual blessings of God. Then he mentions the promises of God. Have you ever thought about how many promises God makes to you? Now, we make promises to one another. We know sometimes people we cannot even keep. If they just don't do it. I mean, they'll promise you the moon, but they will never, ever deliver. In Titus 1 and verse 2, the Bible tells us that Paul served God in hope of eternal life, which God, listen to this now, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. That just goes to show you that God could never, ever be a politician, because he can't lie. Never. Jeremiah 32:42 says, "For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all that I have promised them." And the Bible says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." God will deliver his mercy every morning. Now, one last thought here in conjunction with this, I want you to think about, because I think it really is significant. Do you realize that Jesus was resurrected in the morning? He was. When everybody went to bed that Sabbath afternoon, and perhaps maybe even some of the disciples and perhaps Mary, in their minds were thinking all hope is gone, and they awaken on that Sunday morning, just like we did this morning, and they went to the tomb. And John did outrun Peter to get there. Not because they necessarily thought he was going to rise from the dead, but that they wanted to be near his body. You know, it's kind of like some of us. Sometimes people go to old grave sites, maybe to see the grave where some loved one is buried or whatever. And so that Sunday morning, when it looked as though all hope was gone, the mercy of God showered upon the world. For that morning, Jesus was raised from the dead. What a thrilling moment. I think there's a lesson in all of that for us. When we feel that all hope is gone, we need to go back and read Jeremiah again. "Great is thy faithfulness, for thy mercies are new every morning." I hope you'll picture this in your mind, and I hope you won't forget this lesson. I hope when you get up in the morning, maybe you talk about it at the breakfast table and say, you know, aren't we blessed? Aren't we thankful? And say, isn't Jeremiah right? The mercies of God are new this morning. And how thankful and how grateful we ought to be. Every day, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. Maybe tonight things look pretty dismal for you right now. I don't know what's going on in your life. I really don't. But I know one thing. Chances are that because we're people and we all have problems, we all have difficulties. And it may look pretty bleak, but I know one thing. Morning will come. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. In the morning. I hope that tomorrow, as you begin your day with God, as you lay your head down on the pillow tonight, you'll ask God to bless you, to forgive you, and help you to walk in His way. And tomorrow, when you awaken your eyes to the dawn of a new day, that you will find it a day that is filled with the mercy of God. If you're not a Christian tonight, you can't lay claim to those promises, because those are made to God's people. It's like Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. But as God's people, we surely have a right to do that and do it boldly. And if you're a Christian tonight and you have erred from God's way, maybe your faith has grown weak, maybe like one who came this morning to acknowledge that, and perhaps maybe even tonight there are others who need to do the same thing. And I pray that God would forgive you and that God would restore to you the joy of your salvation while we stand and while we sing.